You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
But I want to bring Dr. Herrera to the conversation. Good morning to you and welcome.
Hi, good morning, Tasker. Good morning to your team and good morning to Trinidad and Tobago that is tuned in, contributing and making some very meaningful contributions. So a job well done and an excellent program this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. So we are talking about the CARICOM meeting, of course, and what should be on the agenda. Have you seen any relations or can you relate to some of the topics, and what would be on your list for contribution to the meeting?
Well, definitely a lot of what was contributed and said this morning. I would just like to raise two flags. One, not only because of my expertise, but because of what we call a critical need. Mm-hmm. And those two would be definitely regional security. And I will speak a little bit on that.
Sure.
And of course, inter-regional transportation. And I think that was also brought up.
Mm-hmm.
With regard to regional security, there needs to be a cohesive, collaborative approach to regional security, and not what is done, conducted, or implemented as per local needs, local demands, or local concerns, meaning country that is. I think as a CARICOM, we need to look at regional security now. We need to understand the parameters of geopolitics and the key role that we play,
mm-hmm.
Both geographically and, of course, in the line of sustainable business development, and how the world has seen us. The spotlight has gone on in the Caribbean. In some instances, I would think sometimes for the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm.
We have to use this opportunity now to boost and to build and develop a proper regional security plan that is understood across the neighboring states and the Caribbean in such a way that we can work assiduously in a collaborative and a coordinated approach to ensure that the region is secure. That is not just meeting at CARICOM. That is the implementation of a DNA across the states, understanding how important our regional security is, because we are facing some of the same problems, we are facing some of the same threats, but not all of us are resourced, trained, or developed to treat with these new trends that are developing in the region when it comes to crime and criminality, because we are facing a challenge, and that challenge is transnational organized crime. And one country, St. Lucia, the St. Kitts, St. Vincent's, the Grenadines, St. Martin, as a speaker spoke about recently, one of your contributors, that is. We can't deal with that on our own, and we have to understand, we have to deal with that as nation states. And that's why regional security needs to be on the top of the agenda with a proper coordinated aspect, not just a CARICOM head in charge of security, but regional security being given a front burner and looking at the implementation of international best practices and standardization. So that would have been my first one.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the second, inter-regional transportation. One of your callers did contribute to it. He spoke about the cricket in Barbados, the attraction of the tourists, the luxury liners that would come in specifically for the cricket. But I would ask a question rhetorically: if we're going to Italy, some of us may just go to Rome, yes, or to Venice, or to Milan. But most of the times, you go to Italy and you do different tours to different states,
mm-hmm.
based on the attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So the aspect that we are discussing here is not so much inter-regional transportation, but the access
to the other countries. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
and we have to assume now. This is a difficult one. It's going to be a big ask, but we have to assume an identity that is Caribbean. And not an identity that is St. Lucian, Vincentian, Trinidadian, Jamaican, that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be Caribbean.
Now, and I'm glad that you brought that perspective up, because I was looking at it parallel to what Europe does. And you just mentioned you can catch a flight to France and then end up in Italy and then do the entire, I would call it the representative of the Silk Road kind of tour.
And then, more importantly, packages are sold
geared towards
with those destinations,
mm-hmm.
and the key sites, things to do. And therefore, we need to have these things to do in the Caribbean, and then these things to do in St. Vincent and Trinidad and that type of stuff. And
mm-hmm.
and there is a demand, there is a market, but how do we capitalize into that market?
Mm-hmm.
And that is why I'm promoting the fact inter-regional transportation needs to be a front burner. We probably need to see CARICOM subject matter heads sit with regard to implementing and introducing an interregional transportation plan so that the access to the region, because there's a viable market in the local Caribbean tourism as there is to the foreign tourism, as one of our callers had asked, has spoken. He spoke about the foreign tourists coming in, but wouldn't want to come to Trinidad because it was St. Lucia, St. Vincent, or Montego Bay. Yes, but the localized tourism of the Caribbean, where the Caribbean
identity
want to travel, yes, and because of the identity. And then, of course, you said it earlier, the low-hanging fruit of business development, making development of business more accessible and easy for us to do so that there's a sustainable development across the region rather than individual silos. And we are hoping that in these CARICOM heads of meeting, we are discussing that sort of unity, integration, and sustainable development plans. And I just threw that out. Regional security needs to be a top burner, and interregional transportation to give us the access and, more importantly, the identity.
So do you think that the meeting with U.S. Secretary of State Mark Rubio is going to play a very important part in the regional security that you're suggesting should be on the front burner of discussions?
I'll have to go neutral and say that we hope so, fingers crossed as we speak, but we cannot afford to be told. We have to also stand up. We have to put our hands up, and we have to indicate what are some of our listings. We have to indicate
some of our needs.
Of course, it cannot be a one-way conversation. This has to be a two-way conversation where we need to be recognized based on the value of the region, and we have to bring things to the table, and it has to be a sort of discussion that both sides win. It can't be, this is what we want from you guys, this is what we are, and we are dictated and demanded upon. We have to stand up and indicate a working plan that benefits both sides of the spectrum.
And just as I have you, one more thing that has been brought up on the list for discussions is tariffs and the ambiguity that is surrounding how tariffs are being implemented by the U.S. president at this point in time. I have another development in that the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that the tariffs implemented by Donald Trump were illegal to a point, and there's development on that. If it is that tariffs are going to be implemented in the region, can CARICOM have a voice in how high the percentage is, where it will be implemented, and how it would affect the residents of the Caribbean region? What are your thoughts on this?
Definitely, CARICOM has a voice. And sometimes I believe we are in a whisper and we are not raising the volume. And I think we have recognized now that we, if we are unified, there's strength in unity. And if we are unified, there will be an opportunity here for us to speak so as to indicate how these tariffs are going to affect. There's something called the ripple effect when it comes to tariffs. And therefore, the ripple effects needs to be identified. But our voice also has to speak on the long-term aspects of these tariffs, and of course, as we said before, the how it can impact on not a country, a region. And Tosca, when we speak a region, when it comes to the identity, we speak a people and how it's going to impact on the people. And this is the same region, this is the same geographic that you're depending upon with regard to the geopolitics and the global trends and the and what we're calling now that sort of development that we're seeing in the global space. So we have a voice, and we must recognize that we have a voice, but it cannot be a Mia Muttley alone speaking, or this one speaking, or that one speaking. It has to be a unified voice that is collaborative, and the interest of the Caribbean people takes priority.
Dr. Hirai, thank you so much for taking the time to join the conversation, and look forward to having discussions with you once again.
It was indeed an honor.
Take care.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.